If you've got your Bibles, go to Joshua. Joshua. Now, those just getting started, this one's easy to find. Just start at the first. Start at the first book, which is Genesis. Everybody walk with me. Genesis, and then Exodus, and then Leviticus, and then Numbers, and then Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. That's the book. So turn to the sixth book in the Bible, the book of Joshua. There are no red letters, so if you're in red letters, you've gone too far. Back up. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. This will be the last class we have on this particular series, so without apology, you know I'm going to take a little bit of time to set our focus and help us be on the same page. In this room, guys, in these people, there are people that have gone through some tough times. Is saying it, it's too easy to say it that way. They're going through some hell. And sometimes it's our own fault. Mine was. Sometimes it's the fault of somebody else. But regardless of whether it's your fault or somebody else's fault, it is, sometimes it's just tough out there. Now, at some point in everybody's life, there comes a time that you, with a memory, with a relationship, with some kind of addiction or experience, so you have to move on. Now, we've talked about it before. It's always fun to listen to people who want to give you advice. They see you hurting, and they don't want you to hurt. And they're good hearts, but they'll come up to you and basically tell you to get over it. And I remember the first person that told me that said, Rex, you just got to get over it. Well, hadn't thought about that. Of course, now I'm healed. That's it. Everything's wonderful. Because it ain't that easy, is it, folks? Now, there's always somebody that wants to tell you, well, you just need to get up. You just need to move on. You just need to move on. It's time for you to move on. I got no problem with that thought of moving on. That's true. Sometimes you got to move from where you are to somewhere you ain't been to get away from where you used to be. You got to get out of that place. But I promised you that I wouldn't say it, and I'm going to confirm that. I'm not talking for anybody else. You won't hear me say, it's time for you to move on. Because I don't know. I don't know how bad you're hurt. I don't know how deep the pain is. I don't know how tangled your relationship is, or that experience. I don't know how traumatic that experience was. But I do know this. God knows there's a time when it comes for you to move on. Now, if I'm not the one that's going to say it, it's going to be eventually your heart say it. And you're going to say, you know, I do need to move on. I think that's right. Well, the best book in the world, looks like to me, to study would be a book that God wrote to people who it was time for them to move on. They'd spent 40 years out in the wilderness walking around because they wouldn't do what God wanted them to do. It was their mess. Now, there were others that were walking around out there because of somebody else's mess. So they understood what it's like to go through tough times that they didn't deserve. And so God tells them, said, okay, folks, it's time for you to move on. We do not have time to review every chapter. I meant to do that, but you got to do that a couple of weeks ago when I was coughing up a lung and wasn't here. So let's give me the top five, not the top ten. We don't have time. Give me the top five. The top five things that spoke to you. When God told these people it was time to move on, it helped me. And that's the way I want you to frame it. It helped me to hear that God told them, I love it. I guess somebody mentions that every time we review. Be strong and very courageous. Folks, it is up to us. The fact that God commands it means it's possible. And within you, it is possible to grit your teeth, clench your fist, stomp your foot, and be strong. Now, is it easy? No, but it can be done. Give me another one. I'm sorry? I love that one. Just get back to basics. We get so complicated. We get things so confused. We start trying to figure out, well, now if I do, we do it, and I'm not looking at anybody, but I've heard, how many of you have us been visited about something, and you tell me, well, if I tell him this, then she's going to tell him that, and then they're going to say that, and then they're going to say that. And by the time you get through giving me a list of all this, guess what? I don't even know who we're talking about. We get so tangled up in this kind of stuff, sometimes we forget just some real simple basics. Somebody tell me one simple basic thing we need to remember. Besides be strong and very courageous. One simple basic, get back to the basic thing.
Love God.
Love God. And you can't beat that one. It's the first on your to-do list, right? I did it. You know, was it last week? Last week I told you you put this on your to-do list. Joshua told his people to do that. So on my to-do list at work, I put love God. I don't know that I accomplished it, but it was good to have the reminder, right? Give me another thing. That's two. Give me a third one. Now we got three with that one. Give me a fourth one. I'm sorry?
Listen to God.
Seek His counsel. We had a really interesting discussion that night about how we tend to think that God is leaving us signs. It always makes me nervous when I hear someone say, well, I think God's trying to tell me. Because you can... I have a friend. I've told you before, I have a friend that every time something goes wrong in his life, God's trying to tell him something. God's trying to tell him something. Well, I think God's been trying to tell him something a bunch of years. But He doesn't do it just through the tea leaves. He doesn't do it just through things we notice. There's a whole book filled with things that God wants us to do. Seek His counsel. One more. Last one. Last chance to get your favorite one in. Oh, I love that. I'm going to make Shiloh quote the last part of it. Consecrate yourself to the Lord and
tomorrow
He will bring amazing things. He will do amazing things. Consecrate sounds like concentrate. Whole lot the same thing, folks. And if we could do that, if we could just wake up in the morning and concentrate. Today, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, when God wants me to do it, how God wants me to do it, whether anybody likes it or not. And then watch what God does. Has God done some amazing things in this place with you people? Name one. And you better do quick because we don't have time. Name one amazing thing God has done for you. Mark.
Roger.
Yeah, Roger, Monica, and those kids, remember us praying for them? And God answered that prayer? Bless them. Give me another amazing thing.
The other Roger.
Yeah, the other Roger.
Having his van and the job that he got and just pulling his life out of the hole.
Watching a homeless guy turn into an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. A business owner. All right? Give me another one. Amazing thing.
Randall Bentley, he fell off of a three-story building. And hit a three-story barn, and he hit his head, and he prayed, and now he's doing good, and he's gone.
Good. All right. Randall Bentley. Randall Bentley fell off a barn?
Yeah.
A three-story barn?
Concrete.
And he's doing good. God does amazing things. Give me one more.
We got our kids back, and then... We got help with the van and everything.
How about kids back from CPS? How about sobriety? How about a van?
Yeah, a van, and then got to go home to see my family after about 10 years.
Get to see family. There's all kinds of folks. You concentrate yourself to the Lord. Concentrate yourself to the Lord, and what'll happen? Amazing things will happen. And that's just, folks, we hadn't even touched the hem of the garment on amazing things. Now go to 24. I didn't get to do my favorite one. But yeah, I got to say mine about a jillion times, so we're going to move on. Look, Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. Oh, this is good. See, I'm Joshua, old. Remember, the Lord told him you're old. And he gathered the tribes of Israel to Shechem. That's what we'll start calling this room, Shechem. All right, we all came to Shechem. And there they presented themselves before God. And folks, that's what we do when we come here. Of course, you do that every day of your life. But that's what you do when you come and say, man, I want to fellowship with God's people. When I want to read from God's Word, I want to learn from God's teaching. That's you present yourself to the Lord. Joshua said to all the people, and we're just going to read a while, okay? So just listen. He's going to tell them what God has done for them. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your fathers, including Terah and the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. What's he doing, guys? This is a rerun. He's a replay. He's giving a... This is kind of like Sports Center. This is God Center. Here are the top 10 plays of God, all right? I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, and the king of Moab prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan. Remember how that happened? They stepped in, and what happened?
Water just
dried up. That's right. They fought, the citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, Jebusites, and all them otherites. But I gave them into your hands. Look at this. I sent the hornet ahead of you and drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil and cities you did not build. You live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Stop. Does that sound familiar to you? Change the countries. Change the geography. And what have you got in that story? Has God in this place, has God in this place ever delivered you out of bondage? Has God ever defeated any of your enemies? Has God ever given you something that you did not deserve? I mean, this is our story. Well, it's not our story. This is God's story. This is the good. God does this kind of stuff over and over and over again. And so somebody would tell me, well, the God of the Old Testament is so much harsher than the God of the New Testament. Well, change your voice and read it again. God does good stuff all the time. Our God is good to us. And here's what he says. Here's the conclusion. Now, and we number these, okay? Number one, since God is that kind of God, what do? When it comes time for you to move on, and God has done all of this stuff for you, moved heaven and earth to get you where he wants you to be, what do? Read it. I didn't make it up. Verse 14, fear the Lord. Number one, fear the Lord. Now, we're not going to push past that for a second. A bunch of you have heard me say it. I'm going to say it again without apology. I've got grandchildren here, and that's the illustration. Do you remember the difference between if you've had children, you've seen a difference between your father and the man that became a grandfather. You know that's right? I mean, you look at your father when you're a little kid and you say, Dad, can I borrow you a quarter? And he said, quarter? What do you need a quarter for, boy? You got to hoe the field. You got to paint the house. You got to milk the cows. You got to paint the barn. And then I'll loan you a quarter. And then all of a sudden you give that man grandchildren. And what does he do? Grandchild walks up and says, Big Bill, I need a quarter. Quarter, that ain't enough. Here's a 20. Let me give you a 20. In fact, I think your dad ought to match that. Why don't you take another 20? I tell you, I believe in the power of the gospel, but I also believe in the power of grandkids. It's amazing the transformation. Well, granddads develop a kind of philosophy that, and we have let God become a grandfather instead of father. Because grandfather, playing with the grandkids, says, honey, don't play with that. No, don't play with that, dear. That's one of grandma's pretty things. Crack. Oh, that's all right. Grandma, buy another one. And we kind of got that impression about God. Folks, my generation did it. I'll confess, we did it. we stop talking about a very simple, fundamental principle of Scripture. We need to respect. We need to fear God. I'm not talking about Chicken Little scared the sky is falling. I'm talking about a healthy, healthy respect. A fear of God because of who He is and what He will do if we rebel against Him. So start there, folks. You want to move on? You want to? Is it time for you to move on? You decided it's time to move on? Then start there. Quit making a list of things you're afraid of going to happen that doesn't include God at the top of that thing. Well, I don't know what will happen. I know you don't know what will happen. I don't either. But make sure you put God at the top of the list. Respect God. I love... I need to say this right. I love the way this book ends. I do not enjoy, I'm saying this out loud. I'm a pagan, heathen, reprobate, sorry creep. I don't enjoy reading Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a guy having a bad hair day. Worse. Everything's bad. Everything's vanity. Everything's just wind. Everything's just, it's just no good. I'm telling you, he's got to have an erupt. But he's teaching us a valuable lesson. He said, man, I had all the women you could want. I think 700 wives and 300 paid girlfriends is enough. Yeah? He said, I had all the girlfriends you want. I got all the wine you could drink. I got all the bands you could hire. In fact, he owned the band. He didn't just go to the concert. He had all the dancing girls he could want. He had every physical pleasure a man could have. And you know what he said? It's all vanity. It's just... the wind. It's just a puff of wind. But he ends his book. It shows he got smart as he died, before he died. The old man finally said, you know what? Let me tell you what the whole thing is. Everything you want to get down and simplify your life, here's what it is. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's it. Folks, simplify your life a second. Go back. If you want to move on, if you're tired of living in the mess you've been in, if you're tired of living in that mess and you want to move on, start there. Fear God. The same man that wrote Ecclesiastes wrote a place in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to understand how to handle all these situations that you don't know how to handle? Start there. Start there. Put God first on your list. And respect the way God thinks of things. Respect what God says about things. Now, number two... serve Him with all faithfulness. Now, real quick, what does serve Him mean? So, all right, take it out of the Bible a second. That's too much. That's too spiritual for this much. So take it out of the Bible a second. If you're going to serve somebody... all right, if you're going to serve somebody... take it out of the Bible. Forget being spiritual. Okay. You do something, how much do you do it? If you're serving them, what do you do? You cater to them, whatever they want, right? Do you remember old-timey days? You'd go to somebody's house and they'd say, would you like a glass of tea? And they go get it. Would you like a piece of pie? Oh, let me get you one bigger. And they would do that, serving you. Remember when they used to fill up your gas tank at the thing? Remember when gas didn't cost a house payment? I'm serious. To serve somebody means to cater to them. So who does he say to cater to? God. What does God want today? I know that I wake up saying what I want. Right? I got that down. I know we've got it down. Here's what I want God to do for me. Bang, bang. How about changing that order for a second? Put God at the top of the list. Decide that He's going to be the one that you respect above all others. And number two, you're going to cater to Him. What does God want today? Try it. Just see what happens. Start asking yourself, before you start asking God about what you want, ask God for what He wants. God, what do you want today? God, what do you want today? God, what do you want today? I suspect He might say something like, love me. He might say something like, obey me. He might say something like, honor me. He might say something like, consecrate yourself to me. He might say something like that. But ask God, God, what do you want me to do for you today? Let me make your day better. Let me comfort you, God. Let me cater to you. But I look at that last phrase. That's what I love the most out of that deal. He said, serve the Lord with... Now underline the phrase so you don't forget it. Serve the Lord with what?
Faithfulness.
All faithfulness, my Bible says. What does that mean? What does that mean?
I'd say sincere.
It means doing it because you really want to. Anybody, you don't have to hold up your hand, but anybody in here ever gone to church just because you felt like you had to? And I'm not saying you felt like you had to because God wanted you to, but you felt like you had to because if you didn't, somebody is going to come visit you. Or somebody's going to call you. I know people who make themselves go to church because they don't want the visitation committee at the church to come by and see them. So what's their motivation for serving the Lord?
Avoiding people.
I don't want to get in trouble. All right? And it's not getting in trouble with God. It's getting in trouble with those people that do the visitation. Now hang on a second. Those of us who grew up going to big church, some of us developed the mentality that it was going to church that was the serving of the Lord. In fact, even in our wording, welcome to the services of the Lord. Okay, I got no problem with that, but is that what serving the Lord means? No, serving the Lord means what?
Being a vessel.
Being a vessel. What does it mean to serve the Lord? Giving your heart to Him. What does it mean to serve the Lord? Obey His commandments. Serve the Lord means do whatever He wants you to do, whenever He wants you to do it, however He wants you to do it. And you do it with all faithfulness. And you do it with sincerity. You do it because this is the God that brought you out of bondage. This is the God that brought bread right out of heaven. This is God who poured water out of a rock. This is a God who wrote with His finger tablets of stone to call me His Son and me Him my God. And that doesn't even compare with what He did for us. He brought us out of death, gave us a brand new life, wrote His commandments with His Spirit on our hearts, and put a guarantee in us that He will do whatever He has to do to get us home. Man, that God we can serve, can't we? Every day. And you serve Him with faithfulness. Now, I love what He says. He said, throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the rivers, beyond the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. There He says it again. When God repeats something, we need to pay attention. Serve the Lord. He says it a second time. Now hang on a second. We won't go into the big deal. We won't go into this whole discussion. But they served gods. Abraham, before God called him, served false gods. And then they had some false gods there in Egypt. And there were some of those people, in spite of all that God had done for them, were still carrying around those pieces of wood and stone. Now, folks, does that make a lot of sense to you? Okay, think about this. If this stool is an idol, what am I doing with my God? I'm picking it up. If I have to pick up my God, how's my God going to pick me up? So here's God, their God, whips all of Egypt, and Egypt says, here, take all of our stuff and walk out. And so they get these little gods, and they're carrying them out. Their God, the God of all gods, is leading them out of Egypt. And what are they doing? They're carrying around their God. A toy. That's right. It's not going to do a thing. Right? And then they get to the Red Sea, and what do they have to do? I've got to put my God down. I'm getting tired. And then what does the God of all gods do? He opens the Red Sea. So what do they have to do? Pick up their God and run for it. Right? You see how foolish it is? I'm getting thirsty. I gotta sit down on my God for a second, and I gotta rest. And God has water pour out of a rock. What do you do? Well, I gotta pick up my God and go to the next place. Well, I'm hungry. I gotta sit down on my God and wait for somebody to do something. I'm hungry. And bread falls out of heaven. God does that. And what does this one do? You know what this one does? It weighs your life down. Hang on. It weighs your life down. Now there's lots of things idols do. But here's the point I want to make. How many of us, I'm not looking at anybody. How many of us have gotten into habits? How many of us have gotten into hobbies? Not looking at anybody. How many of us have gotten into relationships? How many of us have gotten into things that we need to throw away? There's some things that have got you so tied up in knots. They've got some things that are dragging you down. There are some things that you won't let go of. If you're going to move on, guess what? Leave the junk behind. I helped a family. Won't say who. Won't look. But I helped a family move. And when we got all the stuff moved, the woman started taking things and throwing them in the trash. Okay. Do you have a problem with that? What is the problem with that? You throw the trash away before you move. That's one reason why some of you don't want to move. I got too much junk to move, so I don't want to move. Guess what? It's all junk. And if you got boxes, I love you. I'm not looking. But if you got boxes, if you've got storage sheds, if you've got rental shit, if you've got barns full of things that want, I'm not looking at anybody. If you've got barns full of things that one of these days you're going to go through, and one of these days you're going to need, maybe one sort of, somebody might, one of these days, it's time for you to move on, folks. You got to leave your junk behind. You got to leave your junk behind. That's what he's telling them. You want to move on?
I just have
leave
to.
Leave it away.
Yeah. You want to move on? You fear God. You want to move on? You focus on catering to Him, not yourself. And number three, you throw away the junk.
Really?
Now you don't like it. Here's what he says. But if serving the Lord does not seem, if it seems undesirable to you, now here's the point of the lesson, and I'll hush. And see, you get to make the decision. You don't want to serve the Lord? You don't have to. You really don't have to. It's your choice. You can come for supper every Wednesday. Supper will be here. You can eat supper. You can sit here or not sit here. That's up to you. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable, then you choose. Choose for yourselves. I like the fact that he says it ought to be done today. But choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Just stop for a second. You get to make the choice. You get to make the choice of who you're going to serve. So who are you going to serve? I'm not asking you to tell me, because you telling me doesn't mean it's so. But somewhere in your heart you make a decision. Somewhere in your heart you make a commitment. Somewhere in your heart you consecrate yourself to the Lord and say, God, I am going to stop spending all my time, all my energy, all my emotions, all my money. I'm going to stop trying to do what I want, and I'm going to start trying to do what you want. But choose for yourself this day whom you'll serve. Whether it's the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But look at that next phrase. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, I would love to, listen to me. I would love to say to you that statement and make it personal. I don't know that I've got that right. I don't know that I've got that courage. I don't know that I've got that ability to not just say it, but to follow through on it. I'd like to. I'm not going to make that claim, though. But here's what I learned there. Here's what I learned from that statement. It's your decision, folks, nobody else. Well, I don't know about my mother and dad. Oh, I love your mom and dad, but they're not God. Choose God. Well, yeah, but my husband, I don't know that my husband or my wife will understand. I guarantee you they don't understand you. Look at you. Choose the Lord. Well, you know my children, I just don't know what's going to... I tell you what, God knows kids better than you do. So choose the Lord. There are so many things we don't know. There's no way we can predict. There's so many people in our lives that want to get entangled with us. Listen, just decide you're going to serve the Lord. And if nobody else does, you do it. we will serve the Lord. Even if you don't, we will serve the Lord. And I've told you before. I love you. I enjoy being here. This is my favorite place in the whole world. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else with any other people in the world talking about God and trying to move on. But I'm telling you, if today you stop coming, if today you stop being nice to me, if today you stop wanting to serve the Lord, I'm sorry for you, but I'm not going to quit. You're not going to make me quit following Jesus. You're not going to make me quit serving the Lord. And that shouldn't that be the attitude of all of us?
Well, somebody hurt my feelings.
They did? Poor baby. Hurt your feelings? But that doesn't mean you quit serving the Lord. That means you stop talking to them, but you don't quit serving the Lord. That means you key their car, but you don't stop serving the Lord. Just teasing. Just teasing. There are people taking notes, man. I was getting nervous there. Are there people you can be out of sorts with? Yes, but don't be out of sorts with the Lord. Did I tell you about the time? I've told you. I'm so old I forget stuff. But about the guy I went to visit, he'd quit coming to church about 20 years ago. 20 plus years ago. He'd stopped coming to church. And so when I became the preacher at that little place, I went out and visited. Tried to visit everybody. And I knew the story behind this old guy. So I asked him, I said, tell me why you quit coming to church. He said, well, that's been about 10, 20 years ago. Old brother so-and-so and I got in an argument in the Bible class. And it made me mad and I ain't been back since. Now stop a second. Just on face value, what would you have told him? That's what I would have said. You're going to let yourself go to hell because somebody disagreed with you. Live in my world, buddy. They do all the time. Yeah, but the better part of that story was the guy that had disagreed with him had died. The guy had died 5-10 years ago. So I said, did you know old brother so-and-so, the guy that you disagreed with, did you know he died?
Yeah, I know he died.
I said, so why don't you come back to church? Because you know, since he died, you know what that means? He looked at me and said, no, what? I said, you won. If you're in an argument with somebody and the other person dies, you won the argument. Right? Who's going to say otherwise, right? All right. The point is, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. He said it twice. And if you don't want to serve the Lord, it's your choice to make. Or whether anybody else chooses to serve the Lord, I'd like to have that kind of commitment. I'd like to have that kind of consecration. The people answered him, verse 16. We got to hear this because he drives the point home. And I would never do this to you. I would never do this to you. I'd never have the courage to do this to you, but because Joshua did it and God let Joshua do it, then I'm going to agree with God and do it. The people said, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It's the Lord God Himself who brought us and our fathers out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God. Now does that sound good? That is good. I love that thought that we would say that. I love that thought that that was our heart too. Somebody says to us, choose this day whom you'll serve, and I would love to hear us do the same thing. We'd all unity. He saved us. He loves us. We're going to serve Him too. Now look at Joshua. This is what I wouldn't do. Joshua said, you're not able to serve the Lord. Ooh. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He'll not forgive your rebellion and your sins. Did He get your attention? Most of us would be saying, oh, that is such good things and you're doing God such a good favor. I'm so glad you... Do you feel better about yourself? No, he says, you can't do it. You won't do it. If you forsake God, the Lord, and serve foreign gods, He'll turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you, even after He's been good to you. Now, was He lying to him?
Yes.
Was He being mean to him? No. He had just been honest. He said... Did he know anything about these people? Had he been walking around with them for a while? Did he kind of know what their temperament was? Does anybody remember their temperament? When they got tired, they whined. They never had any cheese, but they had lots of wine. I thought it was a good one. All right, they got thirsty, they whined. They got hungry, they whined. When he gave them bread, they got tired of the bread. So he shipped them in some quail. Out of their nostrils deep, quail. I mean, he took care of them. He knows that they're not going to serve the Lord, so he tells them. Look how they respond, and I love this. I love this. They don't back down. They say, no, we will serve the Lord. I like that. I believe that. I believe that's what they wanted. I believe they eventually do that. Keep reading. Then Joshua said, well, we're the witnesses against you. You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses. You know what? That was their way of saying, I hold up my hand and say, I tell the truth, so help me God. They were witnesses to the fact that they had just committed to serve the Lord. Now then, throw away your foreign gods, get rid of that junk, and yield your hearts to the Lord. I love that phrase. Yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we'll serve the Lord our God and obey Him. If you get nothing else out of this book, if you get nothing else out of this story, he sums it up right there, guys. Is it time for you to move on? You need to break free of the habit. You need to break free of the hobby. You need to break free of the relationship. You need to break free of that attitude. You need to break free of that mess you're in. Serve the Lord and obey Him. He'll get you out of your mess and get you to the promised land. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. I love this. I love this, y'all. He said, I want you to look at it. See it? This stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. I've always fantasized that if I ever had a big old house out in the country, or even a little old house out in the country, I'd want a huge old rock under a big oak tree, or a big rock under a little oak tree till it grew to be a big oak. I'm fine with either. But I'd love to see that picture, because that's what Joshua points to when he says, that rock heard what you said. Not dissimilar to this thought. These walls this stained carpet and these unstained glass. These walls have heard us. They've heard us glorify God for the great things He's done. How then could you ever stop serving Him? Guy sat right over there about where Candy is. Been years ago, said y'all got to pray for me. You got to pray for me that God help me find a new job, because man, I need a new job. I can't make a living on what I'm getting paid right now. I've got to have a new job. We stopped. I don't even know what we're doing, but I remember we stopped and we prayed. God, this fella needs a new job. That day, somebody talked to him, and by the next week, he had a new job, paying him twice what he was making. He quit serving the Lord. You know why? Didn't need Him anymore. Got what he asked for. You know, you got three wishes, don't you? You get those three wishes, you're done. I've heard us in here beg God for things. Heal my marriage. I've heard us beg for, give me health. I've heard us beg God for in this place, and God answer those things. How could we ever walk out of here and not serve the Lord? These walls heard. These walls heard us. And may their witness join with the witness of our own hearts, our own experience. We've been here. We've heard it. May they bind us together, not necessarily in this place, but to this God, and serve the Lord until He lets us make the final move from here to a place where you never have to leave again. You get to unpack and stay a while. Forever. Right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, for these folks, their attention, their being here when they could have been so many other places. Thank you for the food we had. Thank you for the folks that give, serve, and do so many things to make this place and this night possible. Father, I want to do something. God, I'm going to say it. I want to repeat what they said in Joshua. And I'm going to repeat it. And God, I'm going to ask these folks to say it with me. This is our prayer. We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him. We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him. We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him. We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him. We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him. We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, folks.